Yeah, so praise God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And by the grace of God, we will carry on with our message in the book of Acts. And today we really want to look at, you know, the working of the miracles. And we're in Acts chapter 3, and we are exploring how God starts to work miracles in the lives of the apostles. And we will see what is the importance of miracles and why we should ask God for miracles and signs, but also why we should not place a greater emphasis on it, but mostly the focus should be that we preach the gospel. Because what we will see and learn from the miracles that the disciples did is that they pointed and they brought people to prove that Jesus is the resurrected Lord, to prove that Jesus is Christ and He is Lord. And the end result of every miracle that they did was the preaching of the word. So the most important thing that we see and learn is that it is the word being preached. It is that the proving that Jesus Christ is Lord that is the most important when it comes to signs and miracles. And at the end of the day, what we want is that souls are saved, because what we know is that there are people who might never believe unless they see signs and miracles. You know, there are people who want to see signs, but you see, there are those who still see those signs and yet they don't believe. But you see, at that point then, it's no longer unbelief, but now it is disbelief, you know, because they have gotten to the point where they have seen, yes, but they refuse to believe. So now that one is where now what Jesus will call blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, where someone will attribute the works of God to the devil, refuse to believe what the Holy Spirit has done, and at that point, then they stand condemned because they have not believed in the one that Jesus has sent. So we are going to read in Acts chapter 3, and we will just look at the verses and then be able to see what was happening when they healed the man that was born lame. Now, Acts chapter 3 says, "Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man came from his mother's womb, carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood up and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Now, I want us to really take our minds to that place, and I want us to think of this temple. Remember, the temple was a massive building, and it had all these gates. It had different gates. Ideally, there were 12 gates of the temple. But then there was this gate that was called Beautiful. And you can think it is the ninth hour. That means it is 3 p.m. And remember, the Jews used to, you know, to have two prayers, or rather, ideally, they would pray in the morning and then also in the afternoon. And this ninth hour, or rather 3 p.m., ideally was the time of the evening sacrifice. You can also remember it was the time that Jesus died. And so the disciples had a constant process by which they would pray. So you can see that not only were they praying in their homes, but they were also going to pray in the temple. And the Bible tells us that there was a certain man lame from his mother's womb. And for me, I love how the Word of God puts it, that he was lame from his mother's womb. That means that the lameness did not come from creation. The lameness did not come, God did not make this man lame. But you see that the man was lame in the mother's womb. That means that something happened in the mother's womb that affected what God had created, and it resulted in lameness in this man. And remember, even when Jesus said, I spoke of the miracle of the man who was born blind, that means that, and they asked, who sinned? Did this man sin, or did this parent sin? And Jesus said, it was not so in the beginning, neither this man sinned, nor that his parents sinned, but it was so that the glory of God be revealed. Now, when you think of a man that is born lame from the mother's womb, it will tell you that this is a man who, and he's not even a boy, he's speaking of a man. This is a man who has never exercised, never used his legs. And if you think of that, that means he is someone who has atrophied limbs. And as you know, anyone that stops to use any part of their body, they actually grow thin, they actually do not develop any muscles, and they are extremely weak. So you can think of this man who basically his legs are just like bones. His legs are merely as thin, and there's as little flesh as possible. And all that they will do is that they will put this lame man, look at the contradiction, in the gate called Beautiful. So in the place where it was supposed to be beautiful, they put this man who was lame from birth, who everyone knew and everyone will pass by, because every day the Bible says that his people, they will carry him and place him daily. That means it was like a job. And at times I think if you've seen beggars, it's something that someone will say, some are even carried, you know, by big cars and brought to certain places to beg, and they are picked in the evening. But you see, this was a man who everyone knew, daily was carried to the gate called Beautiful, and he was put to beg for alms for those who enter the temple. Now, I can imagine Peter and John, it was not their first time going into the temple. It was not their first time going to pray. It was not their first time, I'm sure, seeing this man. But you see, there is something that God does. There's a secret that God gives his people, that on the day when he wants to do something, he gives them a confirmation. He gives them a witness. He gives them an inner word to know that at this point, this is when you can go and do this miracle. And this is what we call the charismatos, which is the miraculous faculty, where within you, you know that at this point, this is the time to move, this is the time for action. And so you can see that Peter and John, as they are going into the temple on this specific day, they saw this man. And this man, he begged, you know, he begged. And the Bible says when Peter and John, as they saw the man, then they asked him, Peter spoke to the man and he said, he saw his eyes, he fixed his eyes on him. That means he looked at him in a certain way and he realized that, you know what, I can make this man well. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, that this man can be healed. And when he fixed his eyes on him, Peter together with John said to the man, look at us. Now, you'll ask yourself, is it like looking at me? No, it's like fix your attention on us. There's something that we want to give you. So the man expected to receive money, definitely, because he's a beggar. He's sitting by the temple. This is his daily work. He receives money. And it's not that he even has the faith to be healed at this point. This does not even depend on his faith at all. It is now the work of Peter and John, who knowing what God has given them. And now I love how Peter puts it. He says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. That means that he understood that there is an authority that Jesus had given him, Peter. Remember when Jesus sent them, you know, to go and, you know, he in the Great Commission, he tells them that And this sign shall accompany them that believe in my name. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall heal the sick, they shall raise the dead, and if they take any deadly poison, it shall not harm them. So you can see, they knew that there is something that Jesus had given them when he said that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, you know, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And so he tells them, he tells this man that is born lame from the womb that I want to give you something that I have. Peter is certain that he has that ability within him. He has the authority. He has the exousia. He has the dunamis that God has given him through the power of the Holy Spirit to heal this man that is lame. And the Bible says he commands him in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he takes him by the right hand. And he lifts him up. So you can see it's not even just about speaking. And it's not that he was just staying in, you know, waiting for a crowd to come so that, okay, let me do the sign so that all of you see. No, they were dealing with this man alone at that point. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he takes him by the right hand and he lifts him up. You can imagine that courage. That confidence to pick up this man with all these feeble legs. You can imagine his legs have never stood up. They are as thin as they were. And he lifts him up by the right hand. And the Bible says, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, it's amazing how the word says that immediately. That means that it did not take, I don't know, 3 weeks for the muscles to grow again. The Bible says immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. That means whether God brought muscles to appear, muscles appeared. Bones, whether they were crooked, whether they were weak, whether they were brittle, they received calcium and they got strengthened. And the man was able to stand firm. A man that was lame from his mother's womb, a man that was born lame, at that point received the strength to be able to stand up. And, you know, it's amazing that if I love how the scripture puts it, that this man who has, and actually if you just look at verse 16, And Peter puts it that, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And that word there is, for me, amazed me, that perfect soundness. That means that the moment that he received strength in his bones and his feet, it became a perfect soundness. That means it was a perfect healing. That means there was no mistake. There was no, you know, calamity. There was no error in his healing. It's like his legs were fresh, like someone who was healthy. It was a perfect soundness. And the Bible says, and so he, leaping up, that means he jumped. He was held, he received strength. He jumped up, stood and walked, and he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Hallelujah. That means that he not only stood up, he started walking, he started jumping, and he started praising God. And the Bible says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging at the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amazing. Verse 11. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Now, I want to pause there just for the sake of time, and by the grace of God, we'll be able to continue. I want us to see that how Peter and John respond to the miracle. The focus is like, oh yes, we are now the anointed men of God. See how we can do this. See how we have raised this person. We have healed this sick. They say that, "Men, why are you surprised? Why do you marvel at this? Is it something surprising? Don't you realize that a greater miracle took place, that God raised Jesus from the dead? That it is not of our own power. It is not of our own godliness. It's not saying it's not our own power. It's not our own righteousness. It is not because we are so holy or righteous that this man has been made to walk. But it is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, who has glorified." That means the miracle is here to bring glory to Jesus Christ, his servant Jesus Christ, whom you delivered up, you denied before Pilate. Pilate wanted and was determined to set Jesus free, but you denied him, you denied the Holy One, you denied the Just One, you asked for a murderer to be given to you, and you killed the Prince of Life, who God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. So we can see the miracle is pointing people to Jesus. The miracle is pointing people to the witness that the Jesus whom was crucified is not dead but is alive. And the end result of the miracle is that we preach Jesus Christ. And he says it is through the name of Jesus, through this same name and through faith in the name of Jesus, that this man is made strong. He's able to walk, he's able to jump, he's able to praise God. And this man who you see and know, and he says, yes, the faith that comes through the name of Jesus has given this man perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And I want us to just think of that and say, God, I thank you for perfect soundness, that God is able to give us perfect health. Perfect integrity, integrity of body, integrity of health, integrity of, you know, of everything that concerns us. And you know, the word there, even in Greek, it says it's holokleria. That soundness, it says integrity. That is physical wholeness of an impaired condition of the body in which all of its members are healthy and fit for use. Good health. And this is the word, this is the message that came, that by the faith in Jesus, we can receive perfect health. That means that every member of our body is made healthy, is made good for use, and that we are receiving health. The faith through the name of Jesus. And today even we can appropriate that name. That name of Jesus is available. And when we put our faith in him, just like Peter understood that there is something that is beyond materialism. There is something that is beyond silver and gold. There is something that money cannot buy. And this is not something that they were going to sell. It's not about selling miracles, but it is about giving freely. They were given freely. Freely they received, freely they were able to give. And he said, this is something that I will give you. Receive strength in your bones, receive strength in your body, and let there be perfect soundness. And really, as we believe and we can see, they say this is because of the Jesus who is crucified and he is resurrected. And he says, of which we are witnesses of this. I'll stop there, and I pray God will give us more insight into this, and we can see without a shadow of doubt that we must point the miracles to Jesus, and we must point the miracles to the preaching of the Word of God. My brother, you're welcome as God leads you.
Thank you, Dr. Manu. It is clear that with faith all is possible. With faith nothing fails, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is above all names. I also see the lame man. I think he was focusing on meager things. We often do that as Christians. We normally focus on small things and God has greater plans for us.
Yeah.
Asking for silver and gold is a wealth of the world. It was not for healing yet. He needed healing more than he needed the silver.
God
had chosen to ask for what he wants as opposed to what he needs. But yeah. God, in his mercy, knew what the man most.
Yeah.
It reminds me of why Solomon was chosen, stated to be the wisest king on earth. I think that God asked him what he wanted. He asked for wisdom.
Yeah.
He did not. Wealth, he did not ask for might, he didn't just ask for wisdom. God is greater.
Yeah.
So it's the same attitude that as Christians, when we go before God, we need to.
Hello?
It's just a big stop to give so much as we can have.
Yeah, that's
one. Then you also see that the lame man indeed gave praise. You know, and he was blessed. He did not just fold up his matter.
Yeah.
Dusted the dust off his back, left the ankles. I've got an account. The rest is for you and your God.
Yeah.
He went to the dark temple, went to that convert pot. And praised God. Showed the whole world that indeed he has been blessed.
Yes.
It is a reminder that we should always give testimony. Christ blesses us. We don't sit and just, you know, keep quiet about it.
Yeah.
God deserves that praise. God deserves that adoration. So I think it's a good thing as Christians to take a lesson from lame man's experience. To take a lesson from Peter's courage, that when he invokes the name of Jesus Christ, everything is possible.
Amen.
They never took credit. Peter was to say, we do not heal this man because of our might. No, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So that's what I can add about this.
Amen. 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 I love how you put it, the end result of everything must be to glorify God. And let's not be silent with what God has done, because as the word said, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And indeed, God has done great things for us. Honestly, if we look back, there is nothing that we have that does not come from God, and he continues to do great things. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you, we honor your holy name. We thank you for your word. Thank you that indeed you've taught us today of the miracle of Peter and John in raising this man that is blame from the womb. That, Lord, there is nothing that is impossible with you. With men, this is an impossibility. With men, this looks like things that are stories, oh God. But with you, everything is possible. And indeed, you've shown us today that indeed by faith in you, that we can move beyond silver, we can move beyond gold, and we can go into the realm of the supernatural and indeed give to men that which you have given us, O God. And Father, I pray for healing this morning. I pray for them that need healing, for our bodies that are sick, O God. I pray that the life of God to flow in our members, O God, to correct things that happened even from birth, oh God, even from the womb where the enemy came and corrupted that which you had prepared in the studios of eternity, oh God. I thank you by the power of the Holy Ghost that, Lord, you are able to bring perfect soundness, oh God, perfect integrity of bone and impaired conditions, oh God, that indeed every part of our body is fit and good for use, oh God. And I thank you that, Lord, we shall return all the glory to you, oh God, of the testimonies that you have done and that you continue to do in our lives, oh God. We praise you, we worship your holy name, we adore you, we magnify you, Lord. We thank you and we adore you. May your name be praised, be worshiped, and be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Indeed, shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye.